This is URN,
the Sports Show Breakdown.
Hello and welcome to the Saturday Sports Show here on URN1350.net. First, we're going to go to Nick because I hear you've got news of a goal in the first half.
The most important goal of the day, of course, Jamie Vardy, right on the stroke of half time in the Leicester game. A brilliant goal. He ran in from the left flank, played it into Ojoa, got the return pass and smashed it past Tom Elliott. A wonderful goal, and of course that means he's equaled Ruud van Nistelrooy's record of 10 goals in 10 consecutive games.
Yeah, and we were saying before the show, obviously for him to beat it, he now does in his next game have to score, of course, against Man United, who did concede earlier. We'll get onto that a bit later on in the show, but you know, it's going to be a good match to watch, especially if Vardy can get 11-11 and of course beat Ruud van Nistelrooy's goal record in the Premier League in terms of scoring in consecutive games, and also in terms of, you know, Ruud van Nistelrooy, obviously ex-Man United player. It's going to be a big occasion for him, don't you think?
Absolutely. I think he will relish the opportunity to play against United at the Walker Stadium, and yeah, the fans will of course be behind him. He'll have the full support of the crowd, and I'm sure there'll even be a few Man United fans out there hoping that he breaks the record.
Now, obviously, David, we're going to be going. We've got you covering. You're an avid Arsenal supporter, obviously. We've got you keeping an eye on the game at the Hawthorns. How has that one panned out in the first half?
It's been a really interesting first half, actually. It started off fairly evenly in the opening 15-20 minutes, and the deadlock was broken by Olivier Giroud about close to the half hour. Lovely free kick in from guess who, Mesut Ozil. A little deft touch, and that was just nodded in by Olivier Giroud. And since then, bizarrely, the game has taken a turn. James Morrison scored from a free kick after Arteta gave it away, and there's absolute pinball in the West Bromwich Albion penalty area at the moment after another free kick was sent in by Mesut Ozil. A lot of Arsenal appeals for a foul on Olivier Giroud. He actually went and spoke to the ref at half time because he was unhappy at the treatment he was getting at the first half. There were a lot of shirt pulls and tugs, but it's definitely a kind of foul that happens six of one, half a dozen of the other. Oh, and Arsenal have hit the post. I think Mesut Ozil has just hit the post from the edge of the penalty area. Bobbling ball into his feet, hits it well across the keeper. It was indeed Mesut Ozil. Really unlucky. The second goal for West Brom in this game was an own goal by Mattia Flamini. James Brunt did really well to get to the byline and crossed it in. Mikel Arteta couldn't do much, diverted it into his own net. And just saying that, it's all going on here. Ozil hits the ball into the floor, bounces well across the goal and hits the outside of the post. And now Laurent Koscielny appears to have gone down with a groin injury.
So we're going to move on to talk about, obviously, a game that did kick off, the early kickoff earlier between, of course, Watford and Man United, being played at Watford. Now, that game ended 2-1 to Man United, but it needed a late Troy Deeney own goal to secure all 3 points for Man United. What did you guys, I mean, me and you, David, we were sat outside in the studio watching that game. What did you make of both sides' performances?
I thought that Manchester United were once again a little bit... Manchester United appear this season to have really been mediocre with a quite good defence. So they're not necessarily scoring lots every game, but they're winning because they just need to score one, and that's all it, you know, when you've got the players of the quality that they have, they're going to get that. And their defence has been pretty solid. They hadn't conceded in over something like 6 hours worth of football. So,
do you think that that's something that they have to worry about, especially going into the next game against Leicester?
I don't know, because it will be interesting to see how midweek affects Manchester United in the Champions League. If they feel the need to put out a strong team against CSKA Moscow, I think it is. Although, don't quote me on... No, it will be a PSV at home, because it will be the same fixture as the first leg, the first game. Then I'll be just interested to see how Leicester try and line up. It does depend on how midweek takes its toll and how Manchester United try and line up. Are they going to try and line up in that kind of standard formation, or are they going to try and do what they did a few times last season and prioritise the kind of attacking fullbacks more than having a solid defence?
And moving away from the live football that is happening at the moment, midweek or at some point during this week, Louis van Gaal has come out and said that he doesn't do anything at Man United. All that he does is delegate and earn a lot of money for doing so, for giving the rest of his coaching staff various jobs to do, and he says that he sits back and does nothing. Now, do you think that that's fair comments to be saying, especially considering the amount of money that does get splashed around in football nowadays?
I think the art of management is knowing how to delegate things, but it does depend. I'd be very surprised if he does nothing himself, because surely he wants to be involved in the decision-making.
Now, you said that obviously the managers do want to get involved with the innovation and want to be in and around the team 24/7. Now, Louis van Gaal has come out and said also that he is the first manager to at Man United to have a notebook with him, and now everyone else is doing it, and that he has claimed that he's an innovator, yet ex-Man United player Paul Scholes has claimed that the club are lacking creativity and lacking, you know, the real football that we saw from them during the Ferguson years. Would you guys agree with that? Or do you think that there is still some time that Louis van Gaal needs to be given to perhaps prove himself?
Well, I think it's not so much that he needs to prove himself. He's proven himself as a manager at Bayern and elsewhere where he's had success, even with the Dutch national team. His style of play doesn't suit the Man United way, if that makes sense, that Man United have been used to over the last 26, 27 years under Ferguson. And I think that the United fans are perhaps feeling the changes a little bit. As we speak, actually, there's been a third goal in the Leicester game.
Yeah, who scored it?
It's Okazaki, Jamie Vardy's replacement.
So all three strikers
have played and have scored. Only Kramaric, if he comes on. It was a deflection, actually, off the keeper. It was a brilliant save from Albrighton, an Albrighton strike. Oh, no, wait, sorry. It was a Mahrez strike, and Albrighton played it in. And then it drops out the sky, hits Okazaki on the head and goes in, pretty much.
So it's 3-0 to Leicester, and more woes for Newcastle. David, have we had a chance in one of the games?
There appears to have been a chance. I'm not sure what's been given. I think there might have been a penalty. Yeah, it would appear that Brunt has conceded a penalty for holding back Alexis Sanchez. I can't confirm that, but a card has been given to Brunt. I thought the ball went out of play. It went over Sanchez, but everyone stopped. Brunt has been given a yellow card, and there is indeed a penalty for Arsenal. Your guess, it's been given. Giroud is having words with quite a lot of the... there's been a little bit of handbags there between Giroud and Gardner. The referee's going to have to step involved to keep this going. This is absolutely bizarre. I think everyone was expecting a goal kick because the ball was played in from Santi Cazorla. It was just too long for Joel Campbell. But I mentioned earlier that Arsenal didn't get a penalty for holding back Giroud, and that appears to be the case that Giroud is making to a lot of these West Brom players. And that now means Arsenal have an absolutely golden chance to equalise. It is Santiago Cazorla from the penalty spot. Oh, and he's missed it!
Oh, he slipped!
He has slipped.
Was it a save or did he completely miss the goal?
No, he's slipped and put it over the bar.
He's
David Beckham'd it.
We'll be keeping you up to date with, of course, the El Clasico, which I understand has just kicked off. Nick, have you got information on the lineups for that?
Yes, I do. We'll start by saying that the five most expensive footballers in history are all on the pitch right now.
Wow.
So bonus points if you guys can guess who they are.
Obviously, got to be Ronaldo and Bale.
Ronaldo, Bale, Neymar, Suarez.
Yeah, Neymar, Suarez, and perhaps
the last one. Sorry,
James.
James Rodriguez.
James
Rodriguez.
Indeed. So, yeah, all starting. Messi, obviously, on the bench for Barcelona, with Roberto starting in his place on the right wing. So, both very strong lineups. I would assume that Messi will come on at some point because he is almost match fit. We're reliably informed. The Real Madrid midfield is a strong one as well. Modric, Kroos, and, as I mentioned, James, with Benzema, Bale, and Ronaldo starting up top. And it's been a relatively lively start to the game. Suarez was down within the first 40 seconds, holding his shoulder, looking like he was crying. Sergio Ramos looking angry. So if you had an El Clasico drinking game, I'm sure they'd both be on the list.
Without Messi, they have been incredible, you know, in...
Neymar and Suarez have scored. Barcelona's lost 17 league goals. So even when Messi isn't playing, you know, they those two alone have proved that they can carry Barcelona, so to speak. So do you think that if Messi wasn't to come on, do you think that there would be much of an issue there in terms of scoring goals?
Well, not so much in terms of scoring goals, but Messi just brings a different dynamic to the game, especially in a big game such as this. The nerves will be flying, emotions very high, obviously, with the La Marseillaise being sung before the game and several French players on the pitch. I think Messi strikes fear into the hearts of defences, doesn't he? In a way that perhaps Neymar and Suarez haven't quite got the calibre yet. I feel Real Madrid won't fear Neymar and Suarez in the same way they fear Messi. So, not so much in terms of scoring goals, because as you said, Neymar and Suarez have scored the last 17 goals for Barcelona and 16 in 5 games they've got. So, there's no problem there. But, yeah, I think Messi just changes the game.
When you look at the table, if Real Madrid can somehow salvage a win, they will go ahead of Barcelona on goal difference in the league, which will be absolutely massive for Real Madrid. Now, I didn't mention that I had prepared a little El Clasico quiz for you guys. So, without further ado, here's the El Clasico quiz that I have prepared for you guys. So, the first question is, who has scored the most goals in the competition, Messi or Ronaldo?
Lionel Messi.
Yeah, starting off easy, guys. Messi has, of course, scored 21 goals in the El Clasico, whilst Ronaldo has only scored 15. Now, 15 goals in any
competition like the El Clasico, I mean, it's not really a competition, but between the two clubs, it's impressive.
It's the third highest total of is 15, and the second is 18, Alfredo Di Stefano.
Oh, really?
Di Stefano.
How many has Raul got? Do we know?
I don't think he scored as many in El Clasicos, but I can't imagine. I'll look it up right now. Go on, keep carrying on with it.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to go to the second question of the quiz. Now, this question is about appearances. So who has made the most El Clasico appearances, Xavi Hernandez or Iker Casillas?
I would say Casillas.
That's a tough shout. I'll go for Xavi.
Well, the answer is, of course, Xavi Hernandez, who has made 42 appearances in the El Clasico.
What is that, 21 seasons?
Yeah, it's an absolutely...
Does it count Champions League?
It's an all competition, so an absolutely incredible stat to have.
There was that year when they played about 7 times.
Oh, yeah, Champions League and the La Liga.
It was absolutely insane. I mean, like you say, you know, these guys do meet quite often, more often than not, at least, you know, 3 or 4 times per season in external competitions such as, you know, the Spanish Cup and etc. But Iker Casillas wasn't too far behind with 36 appearances. So both players are well experienced in the competition. So we're going to move on to the third question now. And this one's a bit of a tricky question. If you're good at your history of the El Clasico, then you might nail this one on the head. But in the history of the El Clasico, what has been the biggest scoreline recorded between the two clubs? Is it A, 5-0, B, 4-3, C, 11-1, or D, 8-2?
Wait, sorry, as in biggest by the most amount of goals or biggest?
Just biggest scoreline in terms of the amount of goals that have been scored.
Okay,
yeah.
So not the biggest win for one team.
No.
Well, when you read the question, 5-0 popped into my head, so I'm going to stick with my guns and say 5-0.
What was option B?
Option B was 4-3, C was 11-1, and D was 8-2.
I remember there being a 4-3 a couple of years ago when Messi scored a hat-trick, so instantly I know it's not the 5-0. 8-2 I don't think has happened in that fixture, and 11-1...
Sounds ridiculous.
It sounds a bit ridiculous, so I'm going to go with 4-3.
Well, it is in fact C. 11-1 was the highest scoreline, and that was recorded back in 1943 in a match in the Copa del Rey. So going back a fair few years. So, but you know, anything in football is possible, and I mean 11-1 is just absolutely insane. So moving on to question 4, which of these British players has never scored a goal in the El Clasico?
Probably Jonathan Woodgate.
I'm going to read out a list, but okay.
It's Jonathan Woodgate, isn't it?
Is it A, Steve McManaman?
He scored in one.
B, Gareth Bale. C, Michael Owen. Or D, David Beckham?
Oh, I don't know if Beckham scored in a Clasico.
I can't remember many goals that Owen scored altogether.
For Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, to be honest.
No, that's a shout.
I would go with Owen because obviously Bale scored that incredible goal where he skinned Bartra for dead.
Copa del Rey final.
Yeah, exactly. So I know it wasn't either of the first two, but I will go for Owen. I'm sure Beckham popped in a free kick. And
I don't know. I'm going to go for Beckham.
I can confirm, David, that is the correct answer. David Beckham has never scored. I can't remember when Michael Owen did score, but
he has definitely scored in the El Clasico. And whereas David Beckham, although his big money move from Man United to Real Madrid, never scored in the meeting between the two clubs.
This is URN.
The Sports Show Breakdown.